day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram time.
It's 6 o'clock.
104.9 WSKV. Pickup country.
Good evening and hello everyone. Welcome to Pick Your Own Adventure. Get those phones ready. I'm your host, Clarissa Arvin, the bookmobile driver at the Powell County Public Library. We're about to embark on a journey together. You can listen right here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Pickup Country 104.9 FM or online, live, or on demand at listenlikealocal.com with the WSKV FM mobile app from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts. Live listeners can choose our path by texting WSKV in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. But first, beware and warning. The books you're about to hear are not like any regular books. During Pick Your Own Adventure, you and you alone are in charge of what happens next in our stories. There are dangers, choices, adventures, and consequences. You must be quick on your feet and ready to use your wit, talents, and bravery. The wrong decision could end in disaster, or worse. But the choice is yours. When prompted to alter the fate of the story, just text your decision in real time to WSKB at 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. Get ready to be on the edge of your seat and let's get started. So, last time we started the adventure, Inca Gold by Jim Beckett. Along with our friend Sally, we have been working for months on a special computer program designed to analyze highly detailed NASA satellite photos. The program seems to have spotted something that could very well be the fabled ancient Inca lost city of gold. We try to encourage Sally in our hopes that it is the lost city, and eventually she agrees that we should go check it out. But it seems we are not the only ones after the valuable information on the city. People appear to be listening through walls to find out. As we arrive in Cuzco, Peru, we notice a Professor Meloder that had recently been in jail for smuggling art, getting off a plane with a well-known art collector, Paul Leduc. Could this Professor Meloder be the one listening in and trying to beat us to the lost city of gold? Will we be able to find out before the notorious collector and evil professor get to it first? Let's continue and find out. Sally's expression changes suddenly. Do you think it was Meloder who broke into our files? She asks. Maybe that's why he's with Leduc. They've come to steal the gold. Wait a minute, Sally, you say calmly. Let's not jump to conclusions. This is a switch. As you're the one who usually jumps to conclusions, you have to admit that it's some coincidence that they're here the same day you arrive. You watch as the two suspicious-looking men, one very tall and the other with a shaved head, followed Meloder out of the plane. They seem to be looking directly at your plane. As your cab pulls away from the airport, you notice that Meloder's henchmen are directly behind you in a dark blue car. Another coincidence? After checking into a hotel, you and Sally discuss what should be your next step. You could set off right away for Soledad to try to find the place indicated on your computer screen, but what if Meloder is following you? Maybe it would be better to play tourist for a few days. If you decide to head for Soledad right away, text the number 12. If you go to Machu Picchu as tourists, text the number 17. Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. we have decided to go to Machu Picchu as tourists. The next morning, you and Sally, wearing sunglasses and carrying cameras, step out of the hotel looking like perfect tourists. The satellite photo and map are safely in your backpack. Across the street, you spot one of Maloder's henchmen sipping coffee at a cafe table. He doesn't move as your cab drives away. Cuzco's old railway station is noisy and crowded with tourists and locals hawking souvenirs. You and Sally manage to find seats on the modern diesel train headed for Machu Picchu, a big tourist attraction. Machu Picchu is an Incan fortress on top of a mountain crag. It was never found by European explorers. An American named Hiram Bingham discovered it in 1911. The train snakes its way through the spectacular Urubamba Gorge. The tracks follow the river on one side. On the other side, the mountains thrust sharply up to the piercing morning clouds. When we discover the lost city of gold, they'll build a railway like this for tourists, you tell Sally. I'm just glad we're not being followed and can enjoy the trip, Sally answers, leaning comfortably back in her seat. 2 hours later, you're in a bus climbing up a dirt road cut into a steep mountain. Below you is a railway station, and almost straight up above you is Machu Picchu. Soon you're standing in the midst of the stone ruins of Machu Picchu. It's like being on the roof of the world. You marvel at the work of the Incan masons, huge carved stones perfectly fitted together. Terraces built to grow food for the inhabitants of the last Incan bastion. Drop down the backside. Sally points to the sky. Look, a hang glider! Sure enough, a lone figure hanging beneath a red triangular wing leaps off a peak above the ruins and swoops down towards the valley. Some Japanese people are making a television commercial, notes a passing tour guide. Come on, let's hike the trail that leads up to where the hang glider jumped, you suggest. Another trainload of tourists have just arrived. You push past the crowd and start up the trail. Finding a quiet place, you sit down to catch your breath. The view is spectacular. You look down the trail and see less than 100 yards back Professor Maloder and his two henchmen. Sally, come on, quick, you whisper. You rush up the trail away from the ruins. The faster you go, the faster the three men follow. There's no doubt they're after you. The trail steepens as it winds through the peak. You lose sight of your pursuers when the trail bends. Ahead of you on a ledge are three hang gliders, leaning against the rock. Should you and Sally take a hang glider trip off the side of the mountain to avoid Maloder and his men? You hear the sound of arithmetic voices. Looking across to another mountain, you see a very strange group of people sitting in a circle. At one point in the trail, the two mountains are so close you think you could almost jump across. In fact, if you could get across, you could hide within the group. But if you were short on the jump, you could fall 2,000 feet below. You can hear your pursuers approaching. If you keep going up the trail, you'll be trapped at the summit if you have to do something, and quick. If you want to risk flying a hang glider, text the number 23. If you want to risk leaping to the other mountain, text the number 37.
You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
We have decided to risk flying a hang glider. I'll try anything once, you yell, grabbing a hang glider. Do just what I do, Sally shouts as she snatches up one of the others and carries it overhead onto the ledge. You swing the bright yellow glider over your head. It's much lighter than you thought. Standing on the edge looking down makes you dizzy. The station and the train look like toy models. Part of you is frightened, but part of you feels a strange urge to jump. Sally buckles herself into a harness, then grasps the bar attached to the wing. Your shaky hands fumble with the buckle until it finally clicks into place. Maloder charges into view just as two Japanese cameramen above you shout, "Stop! Stop! Thief!" Sally leaps off, the trail of her hang glider just clearing the edge. You feel paralyzed. Meloder is coming full tilt at you. You step off the ledge into nothingness, just as Meloder lunges for you. You're flying. The furious voices of men cursing you and back at the ledge, some in English, some in Japanese, are quickly drowned out by the whistle of the wind in your ears. Where's Sally? Did she crash? You wonder. Couldn't have. There. She's above you. She's skillfully caught on an updraft. Now she swoops down alongside you. You've got the hang of it, she shouts, giving you a thumbs up. She points down to the train and back towards the men on the ledge. The last train of the day is your only escape. And Meloder and his gang will be hurrying to get there before you. Sally swoops downward in a tight turn. As you push on the bar, the hang glider responds. You're getting the feel of it. If you weren't running, flying, for your life, your flight would be pure fun. You look out to your left, right into the eye of an enormous bird. Its wingspan is as wide as your hang glider. A giant condor. A very rare sight. You go into a turn and the condor banks with you. Even though the bird looks fierce with its hooked beak and bald neck, you're sure it's playing. Approaching the valley floor, the condor flaps its wings to come back towards the peaks. Its natural home. A ground of tourists watches Sally gracefully land to the next station. The ground is coming up at you much too fast. You push the bar towards as hard as you can, and the tail of the wing will slow you. Here comes the ground. Boom. You hear something break and end up in a heap. You okay? Sally rushes to your side. You feel much better when you realize that what broke was a hang glider strut and not your leg. Sally helps you out of the rig. The train's leaving. Hurry! As you settle into your seat on the speeding train, you see a jeep churning up a cloud of dust. Racing down the road towards the station, it will never catch the train you're riding. Meloder is too late. You and Sally are in the last car with a dozen tourists. You've had enough excitement for one day and doze off to the comforting clickety clack of the rails. You're roughly awakened when the train comes to a sudden halt, throwing you against the seat in front of you. A moment later, the door bursts open and a fierce man in a camouflage uniform waving a submachine gun strides down the aisle. Out, a Führer! He screams. You, Sally, the engineers, conductors, and some 25 tourists line up along the tracks. Six gorillas push and poke the passengers as they examine the tourists' passports. The gorilla who searches you is young, with classic Inca features. He goes through your backpack, sees the satellite photo, but takes out your passport. A helicopter thumbs overhead. The heavy-set leader of the band appears to order everyone back into the last car. You stumble into the aisle, and the young gorilla pushes you down on the floor, throwing your passport back and kicking you for good measure. The conductor, laying next to you, whispers, "The gorillas want to exchange some of their comrades in the city jail for us. The leader, El Comandante, says they'll kill us unless the government frees their people." "Who are they?" you ask in a quiet voice. "They dream of bringing back the old Inca Empire, becoming masters in their own house. They hate outsiders." You wait on the floor for what seems an eternity. You know the gorillas are negotiating outside and that your lives depend on the outcome. El Comandante enters the railroad car and shouts, "Stand up! We have made a deal. You will not be harmed. But we need one volunteer. We are leaving in an army helicopter, but we need one hostage with us to be sure the army will not shoot. We will all live if one of you steps forward." He casts a cold eye on the hostages. The seconds tick away. You can see his anger is rising. He looks at two small Japanese girls who clutched their mother's leg. Might he choose these children or Sally? Should you volunteer, taking the risk so everyone else will be safe? Or should you wait for your opportunity to do something to help the army capture these dangerous rebels? If you decide to play for time, text the number 30. If you decide to step forward to be a hostage, text the number 43.
Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
WSKNV. V is for variety.
News, weather, sports, and talk. Bluegrass, country, folk, and southern rock.
Just like the weather in Kentucky. If you don't like us, wait a little while.
Tune in every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. right here on Pickup Country 104.9. Online, live, or on demand at listenlikealocal.com with your mobile app from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts.
For the Pick Me a Story series, where you'll embark on a journey through the pages of different stories read aloud by featured librarians from the Powell County Public Library. Don't miss this magical experience. Sci-fi and fantasy, westerns,
mysteries,
and more. Sit back after dinner with the entire family and enjoy hearing new books read aloud in the comfort of your own space. 6 p.m. Thursdays right here on your hometown station, WSKV.
Hey, this is Lance Rogers. You can help stop the spread of respiratory diseases like COVID-19 by washing your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, or by using a hand sanitizer with at least 60% alcohol content. This message is brought to you by Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV.
We have decided to step forward to be the hostage. I'll go, you say loudly and step forward. El Comandante grabs you by the arm. Remembering the satellite photo and map in your backpack, you reach for them to hand to Sally. But El Comandante pushes you out the door. You're lead between two rows of heavily armed soldiers towards a waiting helicopter. El Comandante presses cold metal to the back of your neck. You're sweating in the heat and with the knowledge that each step might be your last. You and the guerrillas make it to the helicopter. They shove you in and kick the pilot out. El Comandante takes the controls, and the helicopter rises quickly above the train and river. You feel a warmth on your thigh and look down to see one of the young Inca gorilla rubbing a medicated salve on your leg. Everything goes black. When you wake up, you realize that the powerful salve had sedated you. You look around and become aware you're tied tightly to a chair. Two very grim men sit at a table staring at you. You have no idea where you are, but it's very hot and the bare cement walls of the room drip with humidity. Your trial can now begin, one man says. You straighten up in your chair, straining against the ropes. Trial? For what? What am I accused of? A hawk-like man at the end of this spits out his words. You are a spy! He holds up the satellite photo. One more foreigner invading our land, cheating us. An example must be made. A white-haired man speaks in a low, smooth voice. Our justice is fair. You can plead guilty or innocent. However, if you simply confess your crime here and now, I assure you, we will let you go. Another man appears and points a video camera at you. We don't care about you. All we want is your confession on tape. That is what is useful to us. That is why if you admit you are a spy, you will let you go free. And what if I ask for a trial and plead innocent? You will receive a fair trial, of course, but you risk the death penalty. If you are found guilty of spying, so quickly, what will you do? If you decide to confess, text the number 75. If you plead innocent, text the number 76. And if you decide to do neither, but tell them about the Lost City of Gold, text the number 81.
You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
We have decided to plead innocent. I'm innocent, you say. You don't trust them, and it's better to tell the truth. You are lying. We have the evidence, shouts the white-haired man. You are guilty. We will vote. All those in favor of guilty, raise their hands. But, you protest, I must have the chance to plead my case. Have a lawyer. We do not have time to waste. Two hands go up, and two look at the third judge with surprise. Are you asleep? We are voting, demands the white-haired gorilla with irritation. No, I hate unanimous votes. They are so boring. Guilty, then. 2-1. Take the prisoner away. You're led outside to a wall, an innocent Incan wall of perfectly fitted massive stones. You look up towards 8 gorillas raising their rifles. Do you want a blindfold? Asks El Comandante. No. Ready? Aim. Your last thoughts is of how stupid you were to not to confess and be let free. The end.
Like WSKVFM on Facebook.
Pick up country.
This message is brought to you by the Powell County Public Library. All checkout dates have been extended until further notice, and there will be no late fees on any account at this time. As the library works towards its reopening date, you can expect our book drop service to return soon, as well as our new innovative curbside service. For more information about these services and the innovative programs we offer, keep an eye on the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page for any and all updates. Free Wi-Fi is still offered at the Powell County Public Library, which is located by Stanton Elementary. To access this Wi-Fi from the comfort of your vehicle, just select the network Public Library Wireless and use the free Wi-Fi password PCPLKY65. Free Wi-Fi is also provided at the stationary bookmobile, which is in its new location at the Clay City Elementary. To take advantage of the bookmobile Wi-Fi, just sign on to the network Bookmobile Wireless and use the same password for the main library, which is PCPLKY65. Flyers containing all of this information are posted on the doors of the main library and on the bookmobile for reference. Although the library isn't open to the public yet, you can still check out our online catalog by going to the Powell County Public Library's website at pcplky.org to see everything our digital collection has to offer. And you can check out digital library books, audiobooks, and magazines with the free Libby or OverDrive apps in the Google Play or App Store. All you need is the barcode number on the back of your library card to have access to thousands of ebooks and digital materials. For any questions, just message the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page or send the library an email at info@pcplky.org. The staff of the Powell County Public Library encourages the community to continue practicing safe and social distancing methods as our community opens back up so that we can all be a part of Team Kentucky.
Hey, this is Casey.
And Laura.
From the Handshake Deals.
The Kentucky Career Center has provided a 12-page document of businesses hiring in the region.
You can access this document at WSKVFM.com or listenlikealocal.com under the Regional Immediate Hire Positions button.
This message is brought to you by Pickup Country, 104.9 WSKV.
Now, on to our next adventure, Silver Wings by R.A. Montgomery. Watch out, you yell, throwing yourself to the ground just as a glider sweeps down on the landing field, Jane dangerously close to you. Is that guy crazy or something? You say, picking yourself up from the dry, sandy soil. At the far end of the field, the glider finally jousts to the rough landing. It rumbles awkwardly off the strip and onto a shrub terrain along the side of the runway. Lucky, I'd say. Isabel comments from the operations shack where your group, the Arbor-Filled Soaring Club, keeps its office. Probably a crosswind problem. Look at the windsock. It's blowing across the runway. Your eyes follow her pointing hand, where the wind is coming at an obvious 45-degree angle to the field. Still, that pallet should have been prepared, you say. But you quickly realize that it could have been you in that tight situation up there. A chill runs down your spine. You shrug it off, now feeling a little more compassionate for the pilot. Landing in the wind is a piece of cake, you think. Crosswind lands are the tough ones. Isabel is one of your 3 closest friends at the Arbor-Filled Soaring Club, along with Josh and Peter. The four of you have been friends for a few years. Hey, you guys, let's get with it. Time for our pre-flight planning session. We're leaving soon. Josh has come out of the operations shack, a sheaf of paper in his hands. Where's Peter? Isabel asks. Right here, says Peter, stepping out into the bright California sunshine after Josh. He is your history teacher at the Merlot High, and he is also your flight instructor. The three of you learned to fly with him last summer. Your shared love of flying created a strong bond between the four of you. We can pre-flight later, Peter says. Let's look at these maps first. The four of you move to a picnic table out of the wind. It's still strong enough that you have to use small rocks as weights to hold down the maps and other papers. Here's our route to Baja Peninsula. It's over some pretty tough terrain, Josh says, spreading out the map of the region. This is a serious flight. The Baja Peninsula is very remote, and it's bone dry. You make a forced landing there without water on board, and you won't last a day, Peter warns. You're making me thirsty already, Isabel replies. If I ever have to crash land, it's going to be on a beach, Josh offers. Peter laughs good-naturedly. Well, no one's going to have to make a forced landing. Let's get back to the maps. We'll take off at 0900 hours and head due south, a compass reading heading of 180 degrees. Once we reach an altitude of 4,500 feet, we'll cut the power and let the winds take us, okay? Sounds good to me, you reply, looking at the maps. What if we actually do have to go down? Isabel asks with real concern. You always look on the dark side, Josh says softly, busying himself with the weather maps. Hey, it's great to be prepared. That's what I taught you, Peter adds. Today, the four of you are taking a long-distance flight in your soaring club's two new motor gliders. These are special gliders equipped with very light engines mounted in the front of the fuselage, and two seats, one behind the other. This is the longest flight you, Isabel, and Josh have ever taken. You know, even though Peter is advertising it as fun, it is a test to see if you really have the right stuff to be top-qualified pilot. The pressure is on. You'll be piloting one of the Silver Birds. It's spring vacation in Southern California. The day is clear, hot, and dry. The wind is fresh and out of the northwest, but there is a hint of coming storms. You can feel it in your bones. Aren't we leaving kind of late, Pete? You ask. Usually you have to leave much earlier in the morning. We've got plenty of time. I got permission to land at the old emergency strip just on the other side of the California-Mexico border. We're going to set up camp there. It'll be a 3-day trip, my friends. I checked it out with your parents. I thought I'd surprise you. You mean it? Man, can we spend the night? Cool, Josh exclaims. What are we going to do about food, you ask? You have about a few provisions packed, but not enough for 3 days. Peter smiles. You know that smile. It's his teacher smile. A sneaky smile that says he has all the answers, and he usually does. We catch our own, he tells you. Catch her on what? Isabel asks suspiciously. It's one thing to order a hamburger, it's another to kill it. Yeah, Josh adds. Some fun trip you planned for us, Peter. Hold on, guys. You aren't giving me a chance. I arranged for a friend to drop off some fishing gear at the airstrip. And just in case we don't catch any fish, I asked him to leave a cache of food for us. The caretaker there is Señor Gonzalez. He'll take care of everything for us. This is going to be lots of fun. You'll like it. Trust me. 45 minutes later, after giving the aircraft a good pre-flight check, storing the emergency water rations, and checking the weather and the flight control center in Los Angeles, you and Isabel climb into your silver-winged, red-bodied Arcus 12 motor glider. You taxi out onto the strip. You feel a thrill, and Arcus 12 is your favorite make of the motor glider. The sun glints on the black ID code on your silver wing, DT23114. The Limbach engine is ticking over nicely. The oil and manifold pressure, temperature, and fuel tanks all read A-OK. You waggle the stick to check the airlines and the elevator and kick the rudder pedals to be sure that control surfaces are functioning. You are the pilot in command. Isabel sits behind you. She is the navigator. The two of you are connected by radio. Let's go down the checklist one more time, you say over the intercom. Right, Isabel answers. And the two of you carefully note everything on the list, knowing that there is no room for error in flying. Right next to you is another Arcus with Peter and Josh aboard. Josh is the pilot in command. Let's go, Peter says over the radio. Roger, you reply. The sleek aircraft hesitates for a minute as the RPMs build. You release the brakes. The plane shudders momentarily, rolls down the dirt strip, and lifts off into the slight morning haze with ease. Gaining altitude in large circles, you sweep through the sky. There's nothing around you except for other Arcus with Josh and Peter. The altimeter and the instrumental panel climb slowly but steadily until you reach 4,500 feet. Glancing at the instrument panel, you notice the pressure of the thermals, masses of upward-moving warm air. These thermals are what your motor glider will ride once the engine is cut. With them, you can stay airborne. Without them, your aircraft will slowly lose altitude and have to land. Delta Tango 23114, switching engine off, you announce over the radio. Read you loud and clear, we're switching off as well, Peter replies. There's a rush of wind, and then a sense of freedom as the engine dies, and the propeller spins in free will mode and then stops. The silence is calming. 2 hours later, you cross into Mexican airspace. Careful to radio your entry to Mexican authorities. They acknowledge and give permission. Great, huh? You say to Isabel, looking at the spiny hills running down the Baja Peninsula. The Pacific Ocean glimmers to starboard, and the Gulf of California to port. I love it, she replies. Suddenly, you hear a crackle of noise on the radio. Little problem here. We've got an electrical failure. It's Josh's voice. You can sense the anxiety in it. I read you, Josh. Tell me more, you reply. Both you and Isabel crane your necks to catch a glimpse of their plane, which has dropped several miles astern of yours. You finally spot it as a slow banking turn to the left. I smell burning wiring, but there's no smoke yet. Some of the instruments are already out, he replies. Throw the breakers, you suggest. We have. No good. We're landing. Better safe than sorry. We'll join you, you offer. Isabel signals her assent. Okay, but you don't have... The radio transmission cuts out. Anxiously, you watch as they spiral down in a large circles. The sandy land below is rugged. We could return to our base after they land and get help, Isabel. Or we could land with them. It's a toss-up. You're the pilot in command. What do you think? She replies. You watch the aircraft descend gracefully, finally meeting the sandy yellow terrain below. You see it skid and then come to an abrupt halt, tipping over on its port wing. You're tempted to land and pick Josh and Peter up, but landing there, they would be a very difficult maneuver. The landing area is narrow, and either side the ground is rough and rocky. Worse, there's a strong crosswind blowing. Even if you land successfully, taking off would be more difficult. One mistake on your part, and two people would be stranded with no one available to get help. It doesn't seem safe to bet to return to home base, but it would take time to get there and get help. Meanwhile, Josh and Peter would be in danger. Bandits and smugglers are known to roam the area, not to mention scorpions and poisonous snakes. The abandoned airstrip on the border is much closer. It wouldn't take too long to get there, and you could radio for them for help then. The food cache is there, too. You could return to Josh and Peter and drop some food and supplies down to them. If you decide to return to home base for help, text the number 18. If you decide to land immediately, text the number 27. If you decide to go to the abandoned airstrip on the California-Mexico border, text the number 33. Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811.
That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
Like WSKV FM on Facebook and let us know where you're listening from.
Tune in every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. right here on Pickup Country 104.9. Online, live, or on demand at listenlikealocal.com with your mobile app from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts.
For the Pick Me a Story series, where you'll embark on a journey through the pages of different stories read aloud by featured librarians from the Powell County Public Library. Don't miss this magical experience. Sci-fi and fantasy, westerns,
mysteries,
and more. Sit back after dinner with the entire family and enjoy hearing new books read aloud in the comfort of your own space. 6 p.m. Thursdays right here on your hometown station, WSKV.
Hey there, this is Sonora May. The Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services suggests that if you are 60 years and older or have diabetes, heart disease, lung disease, kidney failure, or other chronic major medical condition, that you avoid contact with the general public and that you consult the CDC guidance. This message is brought to you by Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV.
We have decided to go to the abandoned airstrip. Isabel, I think it's best to get to the old airfield. It's nearby, and we've got food there. We can use that as a base of operations. Two downed planes are a lot worse than one. If we land where they did, our chances of being able to take off again aren't good. You're the pilot in command, she replies. But to tell you the truth, I agree with you 100%. I hate thinking of those two down there, but let's do what we have to do. You study the ground below, wondering if maybe there is another landing space after all. You spot what looks like a single file line of some 30 people walking. You point them out to Isabel. They're not out for a picnic. Must be migrants. Heading for the border. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Good chance they'll get robbed by coyotes, Isabel remarks. You know about those coyotes worse than the animals of the same name. They guide migrants over the border for a price and then rob them and abandon them. But there's nothing you can do about that right now. You scan the sky, noting banks of high clouds, thunderheads. Hidden within them is a force to rip the wings off your plane. You swivel around, taking in the whole sky. It's clear to the south and east, but the north and west are a cluster of clouds. Belle, we've got trouble. Take a look. I already have. We've got time. Not much, but we'll make it. Turn that engine on and let's go. Roger, you reply, hitting the start button. You have a few moments of anxiety as the engine balks at the start command. Finally, it catches. You skim along right under the cloud base at an altitude of about 5,000 feet. The air is bumpy, and you must keep a firm hold on the controls without overpowering them. Intent on your job, you keep communication between you and Isabel to a minimum. Miles slip by, and Isabel does the navigating, giving you the compass heading and the corrections for wind updraft. Luck is with you, and the clouds do not dip down to engulf you. You share a quick lunch of sandwiches and juice from Isabel's lunch bag. An hour later, Isabel announces, "This radio's dead. Must be the same kind of electrical quirk that Josh and Peter had. Hey, you don't think it's sabotage, do you?" "Sabotage? I doubt it. I'm sure it's just mechanical. These two plans are new. Same model, same manufacturer, same avionics. There's a screw-up somewhere, but no sabotage, I promise you." After another 20 minutes, Isabel points below. "We're there. We did it. We got there. Look at the port side. That's the field." Sure enough, below to the left lies a short runway. It seems isolated and abandoned. There is a small shack at the north, but no vehicles or any sign of people. You bank the Arcticus in a slow turn. "Looks good to me," you say. There's no reply. Removing your headset, you shout to Isabel, "Hey, Belle, the intercom is out. We'll have to talk loud, okay?" Only sound returns. Turning around, you see Isabel bent forward, clutching your middle. Her face is pale and her eyes are squeezed tightly shut. "Isabel, what's the matter?" you exclaim. She groans. My stomach, it hurts, she manages to say. I'm nauseous and my head is killing me. Just as you reach for an air sickness bag to hand to her, she moans softly and slumps forward into the instrument panel. She's unconscious. The radio's out. Clouds are building. Isabel is in trouble of some kind, and the airfield below shows no sign of human life. Your thoughts are whirling frantically, but you manage to calm down enough to formulate a plan. You could make a dash for Arbor Field, your home base, but the direction is right where the clouds are coming from. Isabel is in trouble of some sort. Perhaps it might be the wisest to get down right away and see if you can find help. If you decide to head for the home base, text the number 60. If you decide to land immediately, text the number 66. You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. We have decided to land immediately. You make one last pass over the field to check your obstructions. It looks pretty clear, and you swoop into a final approach. The wind is mild, but this is a crosswind landing, and you are careful and respectful of its power. Bump, bump, bump! The Arcticus touches down, bounces, and rolls to a stop with plenty of room to spare. Feeding in some power, you taxi the silver-winged plane towards the weather-beaten shack on the north end of the strip. There are fresh tire tracks in the sand, and you feel a rush of hope and expectation. We're down, Belle. Just wait. I'll take care of you. We'll be fine. Don't worry. The canopy slides back easily, and you climb out of the Arcus. You move towards Isabel and check her vital signs. You are one sick pup, you say out loud. What's that? Comes a voice from behind you. You freeze for a moment, not knowing whether it's friend or foe. Strange things happen out here in this remote and lonely land. Slowly, you turn around. In front of you stands a short, bearded man in his 60s. He is dressed in neat but old, patched clothing. The man looks up at you, smiling. You notice he has a gold tooth in front. Can I help you? What's wrong with your friend? He asks. She just passed out. I don't know what's wrong, you say with concern. Who are you? The man moves closer to Arcus and offers his hand to shake. I am Dawn. Don Diego Arturo James Escalante Burgos de Argon Gonzalez, he says. That has you a bit puzzled, and he speaks so fast. You can call me Señor Gonzalez for short, or even shorter. Call me by my amigos, do, just Gonzalez. But don't call me Speedy, por favor. I know I talk fast. You introduce yourself, realizing that this is a caretaker Peter spoke of. You're in luck. Your friend's contact drove in here last week. He left supplies for you in the other plane. They're stored in Mi Hacienda, he explained to you. Might stop. Your instinct tells you to trust this man. There's a tone in his voice and a look in his eyes that instills you with confidence. You don't have much of a choice anyway. Here you are with Isabel unconscious, no radio, and Peter and Josh down 70 miles away. With great gentleness, you and your new friend Gonzalez move Isabel from cockpit of the Arcus. Carefully, you carry her towards the shack. Parked under the shade of a group of scraggly trees next to the shack is a banged-up old pickup truck. Spread out from the cab is a tarp that serves as a tent of sorts. Underneath is a cot and a neat collection of boxes, a camp chair, a radio, and cooking equipment. This must be Gonzalez's home, you presume. A small dog is beside one of the tarp poles. He is sandy-colored, and his tail wags like a propeller, so much it wonder the pooch doesn't take off. Welcome to La Hacienda Gonzalez. We'll put your friend here on the cot. Now for some water. Gonzalez moves quickly to a barrel behind the shack. He returns with a jug of water and moistened a small piece of clean towel taken from one of the boxes. He bathes Isabel's forehead. Carefully, he examines her eyes and takes her pulse for a long time. Isabel moves slightly on the cot. This is the first sign of normal behavior. You feel a rush of hope. Your friend does not appear to be seriously ill. She seems to be in a deep sleep. How can you tell? You ask. Too many years of experience, he answers. With a cup of water in your hand, you move over to Isabel and sit by her side, taking her hand in yours. Gonzalez stands behind you, sipping some cold coffee. The pooch strains at its tether in an attempt to get to its master. Finally, Gonzalez gives its hand and ties the dog. Before long, Isabel turns over, opens her eyes, and moans. Isabel! Isabel, it's me! Are you okay? You ask, relieved that she is finally conscious. I feel horrible. Absolutely horrible, she says quietly. Where are we? At the abandoned airfield, the old emergency strip near the border. This is Gonzalez, the caretaker Peter told us about. You've been out for about half an hour. I've been scared to death about you. She turns to receive a cup of steaming herbal tea from Gonzalez. The dog at his side has finally calmed down. Take this, young lady. I know it will help you. I, Don Diego Arturo James Escalante Burgos de Argon Gonzalez, personally guarantee it, he says. She sips out of the hot liquid, makes a face, and then says, What is this? A tea from the desert. It will release all poisons from your system. Drink all of it. Do you think I was poisoned? Isabel asks. See, it appears so. You have symptoms of food poisoning. Anything strange to eat today? Gonzalez asks. Well, no, but there was a sandwich in the lunch bag that was different from those we usually make. I don't know. It tasted all right. You're fine, senorita. I would not worry much, Gonzalez reassures Isabel. What about Peter and Josh? Isabel asks, sitting up and finishing her cup of tea. Right where we left them, you reply. Do you have a radio, Senor Gonzalez? You ask, hoping against hope that he does. Maybe I can round up some more help. I only have a transistor, Gonzalez answers. A radio to talk with the outside world, but no. But show me on this map where your friends are. Perhaps I can help. Gonzalez produces a much folded and weathered topo map of the glove compartment of his truck. It only takes you a few minutes to orient yourself, and you point to a spot on the map. There! That's where they went down. I'm sure of it. I saw it from the air and checked the coordinates and the landmarks. That's where they are. Gonzalez studies the maps carefully for several minutes. He examines the sky for another few minutes, and then speaks. I know the place. It is awkward to get to, but there are two possibilities. First, we can use my truck. The track to this spot is a good one, but it is not impossible. What is the other way? You ask. I happen to be the captain of my very own La Vida. She's a humble ship, of course, but seaworthy. It is not for a matter of minutes. We can go by sea and then hike to where they are. The hiking will be a bit difficult, but it will probably be faster than by truck. You wonder about the choice. Yes, speed is important, and going by boat may be faster. And yet, the sea may be treacherous, and you're not sure if you're up the hike up or afterward. The truck will take you directly there. Perhaps land is the way to go. If you decide to go by land, text the number 94. If you decide to go by sea, text the number 85.
Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
This message is brought to you by the Powell County Public Library. All checkout dates have been extended until further notice, and there will be no late fees on any account at this time. As the library works toward its reopening date, you can expect our book drop service to return soon, as well as our new innovative curbside service. For more information about these services and the innovative programs we offer, keep an eye on the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page for any and all updates. Free Wi-Fi is still offered at the Powell County Public Library, which is located by Stanton Elementary. To access this Wi-Fi from the comfort of your vehicle, just select the network Public Library Wireless and use the free Wi-Fi password, PCPLKY65. Free Wi-Fi is also provided at the stationary bookmobile, which is in its new location at Clay City Elementary. To take advantage of the bookmobile Wi-Fi, just sign on to the network Bookmobile Wireless and use the same password from the main library, which is PCPLKY65. Flyers containing all of this information are posted on the doors of the main library and on the bookmobile for reference. Although the library isn't open to the public just yet, you can still check out our online catalog by going to the Powell County Public Library's website at pcpLky.org to see everything our digital collection has to offer. And you can check out digital library books, audiobooks, and magazines with the free Libby or OverDrive apps in the Google Play or App Store. All you need is the barcode number on the back of your library card to have access to thousands of ebooks and digital materials. For any questions, just message the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page or send the library an email at info@pcpLky.org. The staff of the Powell County Public Library encourages the community to continue practicing safe social distancing methods as our community opens back up so that we can all be a part of Team Kentucky.
Hey, this is Sonora May. I hope you guys are staying safe and enjoying time at home with loved ones. You can help stop the spread of respiratory diseases like COVID-19 virus by cleaning and disinfecting frequently touched objects or surfaces. This message is brought to you by Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV.
We have decided to go by land. Señor Gonzalez, I think it would be best to go by truck, you say. It is your choice, my young friend. You also bring Isabel along, unwilling to leave her alone at the abandoned airfield. The truck starts reluctantly, but at last you are off over bumpy terrain. From your point of view, there doesn't seem to be any sense in to the way you are heading. There is no road or discernible track. Here in this near desert land, it doesn't seem to bother Gonzalez. He whistles and hums as he maneuvers the old truck around difficult spots. You wonder whether or not this is some strange plot to kidnap you and Isabel. But as soon as the thought appears, you disregard it. You are sure that Gonzalez is what he seems to be, a kind man who chooses to live apart from the mainstream of humanity. There is the last big obstacle, Gonzalez says, pointing to a shiny ridge rising up in the front of the old truck. We can't cross it, and it's too long to go around. But by foot, it won't be long. Great, let's get going, you say. Okay, Isabel? Yeah, I guess so, Isabel replies. I don't really feel all that great, but I'll go. Hey, why not stay here? What do you think, Señor Gonzalez? Will it be safe, won't it? Well, perhaps, but these are difficult lands. There could be dangerous people out here. One never knows. Yet, we should be gone an hour and a half. So yes, I say she could stay. Pirito Caliente will defend her, won't you, Pirito? Gonzalez says to his dog, who has taken a great liking to Isabel. He barks in reply. Okay, Belle, we'll be back soon. Any trouble, just take off in the truck and head back to the airfield. Or hide and wait for us. Thanks. Don't be long, please. We won't, you say, as you and Gonzalez head off for the ridge. It doesn't take long to make it to the top, and from there you see the narrow valley and the Arcus tipped over into its wing. Suddenly you spot Josh and Peter running as hard as they can. Right behind them are two men with weapons. The sharp ping of rifle fire penetrates the air. What's going on? You shout. Bandidos, or drug runners. They don't know the word mercy. Quick, we must get to your friends and come to us. Gonzalez says, standing up and shouting, waving his hands. Show yourself so they will recognize us. Jumping to your feet, you shout and wave your arms. Josh! Peter! It's me! This way! Hurry! A flurry of bullets from small arms fire whizzes over your head. Gonzales pulls you down to the ground. That's enough. Let us pray that your friend saw you. We cannot stay here. Maybe the bandidos think that we have guns and will keep away for a while. Let's hope that La Virgen de Guadalupe is with us. You poke your head around the rock for a peek, and sure enough, Josh and Peter are racing your way. They are running in a crouch, taking cover behind rocks wherever they can. Josh, this way, you shout. Suddenly, Josh and Peter come tumbling over the rocks and land on top of you. Where in the world did you come from? Josh pants. Who's this guy? You try to remember Gonzales' full name for Peter and Josh, but Gonzales has to come to the rescue. Don Diego Artugo James Escalante Burgos de Argon Gonzales, at your service. What a way to finally meet you, Peter says. Let's get going. You're right, my friend. Vamanos, Gonzales commands. He is already headed down towards the truck. When you reach the truck, Isabel, sensing trouble, has it running. She has turned the vehicle around, heading in the right direction. Perito Caliente is at the window barking. Hurry! We must hurry! Gonzales wheezes with effort of the descent. Josh is the first to the truck. He throws the door open, happy to find Isabel, who is just as happy to find the whole team together again. Everyone piles in as you head around the truck to the driver's side. Hit it! Josh exclaims as you jump behind the wheel. Gonzales holds on to Pierto tightly. Follow the tracks, Gonzales urges, but you have already figured that out. From high on the ridge comes the whine of bullets. They're firing at you. Your shoulder stings. You've been hit. Gonzales checks your wound. You've been grazed, my friend. It's just a scratch. Not to worry. Make tracks, buckaroo, Josh shouts. It doesn't take long to get out of their range, and soon the five of you and Pierrito are comfortably driving through the countryside, heading for the airfield. I hope those guys don't have wheels, Peter says. They won't come near me, Gonzales says in his calm voice. They are afraid of this old man, he continues, giving a small chuckle. Tomorrow we will organize the rescue of your aircraft. Tonight we will all relax. I think we've all had enough excitement for one day. The end. And with that, we will continue next week with The Case of the Silk King by Shannon Gilligan. Thank you so much for joining me tonight for Pick Your Own Adventure, and I hope you'll join me again next Tuesday at 6 p.m. right here live on Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV or online at listenlikealocal.com. If you missed us this time, remember you can listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com with your mobile app or from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts. I wonder what crazy situations we'll get ourselves into next time here on Pick Your Own Adventure. Remember, you are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Be sure to tune in next time, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Until then, stay safe out there and be healthy at home, my fellow adventurers. This is Clarissa Arvin, Bookmobile Librarian at the Powell County Public Library, signing off.
Pickup Country, WSKV, 104.9.